Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1158. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, just sitting at home here, realizing that the end of hockey is nigh upon us with the conference finals coming up here in the next day or so. And that is always a disappointing time of year, sir, to not have hockey on TV. So I will admit I'm a little bit wearing black at the current moment. But hey, Stanley Cup final still ahead of us. That could look pretty great. So we'll see if that ends up turning out or not here. There were some very interesting things happening in the world of the WWE, which is what we typically cover here. And the biggest of them would be the return of one Brock Lesnar during the Obafemi Open Challenge. And quite unexpectedly, honestly,
Oh, you'll say that. Yeah.
Under the cloak of night, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
Obafemi has the dart, has the spotlight on, and Brock sneaks up from behind him, and boy, they did a great job with the surprise on this one here.
They did a fantastic job with this. Yes, what was under the spotlight, this large shadow essentially attacks Obafemi. You don't realize it's Black Rich Brock at first, and then you finally do really around the time of the first F5, and it's just like you just say, "Holy shit!" And that's just. Yeah, no, they really got us with this one. It's been a while since there's been a surprise like this.
I mean, it was always kind of interesting that they never outright said he was retired. It always feels like and maybe it's just always that I don't have my ear to the ground as much as I used to. I don't feel like this one was leaked at all.
No.
In this day and age where surprises are few and far between, it is nice when a genuine surprise happens. And even though like I said, I do feel like they had left it open as far as the possibility of him coming back. There was enough mu I think they put in enough time to like make you forget about it. You know what I mean? Like make you at least think that this was going to be a longer term thing until he came back. I did not think that we'd turn around and get an extended backlash essentially here at Clash in Italy.
No, not at all. And yeah, this, yeah. Whether you believe Brock was retired or not, you didn't think it was going to be this soon. And this definitely opens up a lot of questions as to why this is happening now. Why did he do what he did back at WrestleMania? Who knew what then? What has changed? That's why I'm feeling like especially with how loaded now this Clash in Italy card is. It was already loaded, basically. This is, and I haven't heard anything about them having difficulty selling tickets in Italy, nor would I expect them to. They usually don't have these issues with these international dates, these places they don't go very often.
The lack of it that makes the heart grow fonder sometimes.
Right. But yeah, to have this match on top of Cody and Roman title defenses, it almost feels like overkill. Where of course it's of course, you're not gonna complain or anything, but when Backlash didn't exactly, whether you enjoyed it or ultimately enjoyed it or not, definitely did not feel like a big show. Yeah, in at all.
Oh yeah, it definitely the definition of at least a B show, if not a
Right,
C
right. But they are, they
show.
have, I mean, they were, this Clash in Italy was already elevated with the element of Cody and Rowan both being on the show, which we don't get that. We don't get both champions on the show, particularly when one of those champions is Roman Reigns. We don't get that. We don't get that very often. And then to pile this match on top, I brought it up in our group chat. I'm wondering if ESPN's kind of feeling the heat, feeling the panic of, now what? And we're past WrestleMania. We're about, we're over 6 months into this deal now. And are they not liking the numbers they're seeing? And do they not realize that, these B show months aren't gonna be great, aren't gonna be great shakes unless they treat every single one of these shows like it's a pay-per-view. We have to be in that mindset now. There was a little, honeymoon period with this, maybe, at least in terms of my own, subscription to this ESPN Unlimited deal. But as I've mentioned many, many times before, when there's nothing else on ESPN Unlimited I'm that interested in, and there's these B shows that just aren't that just aren't that enticing, even for someone like me, who hasn't missed a basically hasn't missed a live show since a PLE or what have you, since the last one before they went to the WWE Network. It becomes a matter of, is this worth it at that $29.99 price point?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I guess I did start to think about that, and I'm like, I was like, I was probably paying like at least $20 for a pay-per-view back in the day. So I'm like,
I mean, by the time it was over, I mean, they were all at like $49.99 with WrestleMania $59.99 or something like that, I think it was, but
oh,
by the end.
yeah.
But of course, you most likely didn't buy every B show either at $39.99 or $49. Yeah, $49.99 or whatever the hell it was.
Not
$49.99, I think it
typically.
was.
They did there was more bar shenanigans to be had in
Yeah. Yeah,
that time
there were. But yeah, no,
there.
this is a different thing. I mean, the WWE Network started at $9.99. We're $20 over that. And at least with Peacock, you have a full general, entertainment, streaming service with old shows, new shows, other sports, this, that, and the other. With ESPN, if you don't care about, basketball, hockey, whatever, hockey, baseball games outside of your home network, and you don't already have one of the services where you can get every game from those anyway, if you're that big of a fan, you might as well pop for one of those and not worry about what ESPN's dishing out to you. Yeah, this whole thing has never made sense. There really doesn't seem to be like this great mountain of programming that's available exclusively for ESPN Unlimited. WWE essentially is the draw in that regard for this $29.99. If you don't already have the cable, a cable or streaming package that carries it already, and all that, the WWE is the draw. But at $29.99, which is $10 more than over $10 more than we were paying it at Peacock, for the premium, tier
Yeah.
that where you got that and everything else that you bought with Peacock.
Yeah, it's so funny just because you do a good job of sales pitch for Peacock, but there was not a thing I watched on that other than sports and the WWE. We really never, I shouldn't say anything, but there's very few things other than, other sports games. Be it the Big, yeah, I believe the Big Ten has a deal with them. So yeah, there's always some viewing outliers there, but yeah, did not use Peacock, and again, I guess that's why there's other stuff connected to the ESPN Unlimited that I find it worth my while to go ahead and carry. But I do understand also that there's definitely the competition for money, and like you outlined, like it's definitely more expensive. Like there's no two ways about it at this point. And yeah. That backlash card, not great. And even yeah, I guess I don't know what they've got up their sleeve here for Clash in Italy.
Yeah,
Like I don't
now is
know if this
where
is going to be a big name card that ends up disappointing, or if it's
it
really going to feel
could.
like a big show.
That's, I mean, it's gonna be on a Sunday, which we haven't had a single PLE weekend where it was a Sunday in a pretty long time. It's of course a European show, so it's gonna be on in the afternoon.
2 p.m.
1 p.m. for me.
If I'm not
I've grown to enjoy, I've grown to enjoy, I've grown to enjoy the international shows on in the afternoon for the most part. So it's gonna have a killer atmosphere in Italy. They chose that they do a PLE in Italy because there was the house show like a year ago or something where the crowd was just supposedly crazy.
Oh.
So this is,
Yeah, and they've slowly been hitting the other countries too. Like I feel like they started kind of in England, and then they, because was it Clash in, was Paris first or was Germany first? I'm trying to remember.
They did a show in a was it Lyon, France, wasn't it? That they
Oh,
did a
they
backlash
did
a couple years
do
ago.
Lyon first
Yes,
before
and that was
the
ins
more
and th
recent
that
one.
and that crowd was insane. Then they went to Paris last year,
Yeah, that's what it
and
was.
that. Right. Yes.
And then
Yes.
Germany, I think, or maybe Germany was in between.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. They've done Germany. They've done Scotland. They've done Wales instead. Obviously, London probably more than once. And now they're hitting Italy, which they've never really done much in the way of any kind of television from Italy. But there have been some recent, international house shows that tours that hit various cities there. Interesting that they're in a city called Turin, which I've actually never heard of before, and not Milan. But well, I guess it's a populated enough area, and they've got a big enough arena. So.
It's a fairly big city within Italy
Yeah.
there.
Well, don't forgive my ignorance.
But it's also not really talked about either,
No, it's not. No,
because
no, no.
it is definitely below. Well, you already mentioned Milan, Florence, Rome, and Venice. Like you're starting out at fifth best city,
Right.
really, if you're looking at
Right.
cities in Italy.
Yeah, but again, this is
Kevin's
this
ranking of
right. I
actually
mean,
going
again,
there.
this is a loaded show. I mean, this is, and now it's even, yeah, so it's a little before. Now it's even with this match that really was the most anticipated match heading into WrestleMania weekend. And now we're getting it at Clash in Italy. And
Yeah, and that's where this gets interesting. Like,
it
do we end
does
up
get
with
interesting.
this, do we end up with a trilogy of matches between these guys now
I
that
it
this is in
seems
motion?
like we do, and we it feels like they wouldn't do this and Brock wouldn't come back like this to lose. So
Well,
it
right.
does feel like, yep, Brock's gonna get the win here, and maybe I don't want to say it's doing Obafemi a favor, but it's solving the problem of what to do with Obafemi between beating Brock Lesnar and becoming a world champion. Even if
Yeah.
you slow it down some. And while and now that Brock is back in play, SummerSlam is back in play. A match with
Oh.
Gunther is back in play. And now there's also a path where Brock Lesnar versus Gunther at SummerSlam could be for the WWE Championship.
Yeah, and I think that's the other reason this card could be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Gunther has had a habit of winning, and he, as you pointed out last week, already ate a loss to Cody Rhodes here.
Yes. Yes, he already has. They don't like having Gunther lose. They don't really have a great playbook for Gunther that doesn't involve him being a champion.
No, there is pretty much no playbook without him being a champion, it would seem. Like, I still think he does a good job being a dickhead
Yes, he
here
does.
recently. Because, I mean, even his interactions with Paul Heyman were pretty prickly.
Yes, he is. He is a complete dick. And the issues with this title, with Cody and this title reign, have been talked about on this program at ad nauseum. He
What?
could use some time away from the title complete from the title scene completely. He really could. And yeah, they said that they don't
Yeah,
like to have Gunther lose, and him losing to the same guy twice is definitely foreign territory, and a loss here, leaves him nowhere. Because
Oh.
everything they've done, with him, of course, and mostly, beating John Cena. His first loss after he went on this, retirement tour run really should mean something. And losing to Cody because they had no one else is obviously isn't that. Cody doesn't need to beat Gunther again. And if he just dispatches of Gunther, we're still back to the same problem that Cody has no opponents.
Yeah, 'cause I don't see there, at this point we are definitely beyond worrying about Gunther having some type of henchman. I would say
No.
that Ludwig Kaiser is otherwise occupied. And yeah. So yeah, there isn't a good screwball way to get out of this, unless
No,
you
not really.
have like the next opponent costs Gunther for some reason. But again, that would still be weird because then a baby face is costing the heel a match, and it's usually one thing if they started a beef, it's another thing if they didn't. So yeah, it would be
Yeah.
kind of weird for anyone to
Yeah.
interfere kind of on
Yeah, yeah,
behalf of
yeah. I don't
Cody.
see this match being any kind of double disqualification or double count out. I mean, there's more of a possibility that they go that route with Brock and Obafemi than there
Oh.
is, Cody and Gunther. So yeah, I'm leading towards that. Yeah, that Gunther's going to win the title here. Although how they're getting there is kind of strange, with For no logical reason, we've had weeks of Gunther being hesitant to take this match that Paul Heyman specifically negotiated and handed to him on a silver platter.
Yeah, like at least this week's promo, he was putting some logic behind it. But it is one of those things where they've just drug the whole thing out for too much time. Like, even though
And
it's
there's
only
no
been
means,
like
there's no.
2 weeks,
Right.
because again, we always talk about this, like, you're not doing Royce Keyes any favors.
No, you're not. No, not by putting him. He's not over enough to be put in this position. When his music hit during the end of that promo segment, you could hear a pin drop. It just it's not his time in any way. He's too new, too much of an unknown. I think trying to play him as a sob story, it isn't hitting with anybody.
Yeah, it's one of
Yeah.
those classic, they love those, real life stories that are really like heart-wrenching. And for whatever reason, there are just a lot of them that do not come across well
It's because
on
we
TV.
right. We've gone this well so many times, and if you've, again, I mean, if you're an NFL fan who is watching, the Fox pre-show broadcast, the
Oh.
worst words you could hear are, "And now, let's take you to Tom Rinaldi." Like, oh, now we're gonna get something. Oh, that's just gonna depress us right now. And in the case of Royce Keyes. No, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, that's I mean, you're going down the exact road. It's just like I don't know why, but sometimes that stuff doesn't play, 'cause I'm thinking
No.
of what was Oh, when Lacey Evans tried to play the
Oh, that was
my
brutal.
dad beat me, and it's just like, yeah, I mean, obviously that's a terrible story. Like, there's no denying that part. But it also it's kind of funny where sometimes they lose that line of where amping up certain traits crosses the entertainment of the real story. And yeah, this Royce Keyes one is definitely on that list. I think it's been more interesting that they're already having him. Well, and this maybe is in the they're not doing him any more favors. Him treating Jacob Fatu, or those two treating each other as equals, I think did okay. But then when Solo comes into the equation, it's
Oh yeah.
like, ah,
It's here
okay,
comes the
we're
black
one,
hole, yeah.
yeah, one step forward, one step back, because it's just like, yeah, like you're kind of like, oh, Royce Keyes is a badass if Jacob is kind of down with him. And then you have Solo come in. It's just like, oh God, like you're
Yeah, this is
just
just
undoing it
I
all.
know they cut some of the dead weight to not use a nice term for it, but this whole thing, Solo, the guy, just the guy who had his run and it's over, basically. It's like I don't know if there's anything you can do. There's no evolution of Solo, and there may
Yeah,
have been a win. Go
I
ahead.
don't think he's the main event guy,
No.
and they're still almost positioning him as a main event guy, which is
He
what the strange part is.
had a very plot-driven short-term run in the main event scene. And he didn't, it's not that he didn't play his part well. It's not, again, he was a big part of carrying them through 2 years ago. You can't take that away from him, but when it was over, it was over. And then he still
Yes.
keeps trying to rebuild his group and
And they've never given
bringing
him
on
any traction whatsoever.
no
Like, even when they got more and more numbers, It was just like, oh, okay, yep, you're still mostly gonna lose. And it's just like, well, then what's the use of a five person group?
Yeah,
You know, it's okay
and
to have one or two losers in there so that they're like the fodder to get to the main people, but oof, when it's all fodder, not good, Jim.
yeah, there was a, there was a maybe a window a while back. They could have done something with Tama Tonga as a single. I feel like that's closed now.
That was one of the weirder things on the show this week. I'm like, why is Shinsuke still dealing with this stuff? Like, because when he started bugging Tama, I'm like, okay, they have a chance here. And I don't know which show it was, but it wasn't that long ago that I thought the opening was there. And it definitely feels like it's closed, because it is the one thing, I guess, to get murked pretty hard there by Jacob. You could have come back from that, but then he's lost two consecutive matches since then,
Yeah, he is. He's
or
lost
been
everything.
involved in two different losses. You know, one of them
Right.
might have been in a tag team match.
Why he didn't just completely walk away after giving the lantern back? I don't know. So he's just back
Oh.
buried in this. Yeah, Tama Tonga, who is just the least intimidating giant in wrestling history, just. No one buys into him. In a wrestling world where there's just so many big intimidating dudes, he just looks like a normal guy who happens to be really tall.
Yeah, like he does not have any of the attributes that anyone else has. Like, I mean, even just going back to Royce Keyes, you know, I mean, you can definitely see how large that gentleman is. Even if he might be a good bit shorter than Tala Tonga,
Yeah.
you know, or even Damian Priest. Like, Damian Priest at least has a good look, I would say, at a minimum. But I
Yeah.
mean, he's a pretty big guy too, though,
He's a pretty big guy. Yeah. It just he yeah, he just
because I guess he's
it's
the only
it's
one that's maybe in that body type, you know, like 6'8", 6'9", and kind of lanky.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he yeah. Yeah, and Tala when he's in street clothes, he's just wait. He literally came out dressed like that picture of The Rock with the gold chain from like 1997. That is literally what he was wearing last Friday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I did not pay enough attention
Just no fanny pack.
to Oh, how can you forget the fanny pack if you're going to
Yeah,
go with that
it's
out
but so
if you're going to
yeah.
go with that fit?
If you're gonna have admiring Royce Keyes in this storyline, and have and having the MFTs continue to rub up against the main event scene, is just it's just very off-putting. Again, Royce Keyes doesn't know the whole thing about why he would even be in anywhere in contention at this point to get this match with Gunther. They just needed a body for Gunther to beat, even though he already had the title match, handed to him on a silver platter. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But of course, but again, it's Cody and Gunther at the end is gonna feel like a big match.
Oh.
So we just had to, eat some shit to get there. It's
Yeah, I
whatever.
don't think anyone else is gonna have to eat a bad L in between here, now that we've kind of
No.
settled matters here with this victory. Everyone else is safe here, so. Good for them. I guess we did talk about a little bit, but we're talking about all of the Clash in Italy stuff. So why not talk about the other main event there, since we talked about the Cody Rhodes one pretty well enough, I
Yes.
would say. Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu are officially booked now for a tribal combat match in Turin, Italy here.
Where else would we have a tribal combat match but Turin, Italy? I kind of saw this one coming, at least in terms of if it being an anything goes type match, and then they've done this type of match before. The Ulafala's on the line. Whoever wins actually gets to become the tribal chief. It all makes sense with the storyline that they're telling, that Jacob wants everything Roman has, and now he's kind of goaded them into putting it all on the line.
So,
It's
yep.
again, their segments have been better the last couple of weeks,
Yeah,
but
they're again more establishing Jacob as the bad guy. I still think that Roman is being a dick for the most part,
Oh
but
yeah, you mean when they were beating him down 3-on-1?
Yep, there are definitely still moments where there are good reasons for LA Knight to come back into Raw TV and be salty at the
Yes, I don't think enough people are
Usos.
being I don't think enough people are being salty to the Usos. It's like, what are you guys doing? You've just completely regressed your careers, especially Jay. Like, what are you even doing anymore? carrying Roman Reigns' bags again. And the one thing that's not working about this whole thing is I think we brought it up before, the Tonga Death Grip ain't working. People ain't buying into this thing as this deadly hold. I understand Jacob Fatu's need to come up with a new finishing move so he isn't moonsaulting and landing on his knees at his size in every single match. I imagine that was starting to take its toll. But this, yeah,
Yeah, they might be
this hold ain't
telling him
working.
that less is more
Yeah.
sometimes.
Well, it doesn't have to be that much. It doesn't have to be that much less.
yeah, I still think that they haven't completely gotten the Tongan death grip over.
No.
They're still trying pretty hard, but
Yeah.
it's still needs a little runway, in
But
my
they,
opinion.
but 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 they've got their match at Clash in Italy, and they're gonna get all the bells and whistles in that one. So that should make it a should probably likely a better match than they would had at Backlash, and just a way to cap off this feud. I don't believe for a second that Jacob's winning this match.
That would be wild if there were two title changes on this card, especially the World Heavyweight Championship, which again, like we have, I feel like chronicled at this point that Triple H definitely loves the long title reigns, and
He does love the long title reigns, yes.
if one champion's gonna have a short reign, i.e. Cody Rhodes. We're definitely not going to have both of them have short ones. And
No.
I'm not really surprised. Roman said he was back for the summer, and it feels like he's definitely going to make more appearances than he has in quite some time.
Yeah, that's what seems. But now the question is, what match closes this show? We all know if Brock's not last, he's first. So where do we format this show?
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be it's weird to think that that could be first again. But they still seem to favor championship matches in the main event. So that's why I'm still leaning towards I probably, man, who do you go with in that situation? If you think the upset's coming, do you go with Gunther winning, or do you leave Roman Reigns to send the crowd home happy?
That's a good question. I think at that point
Because
think at that point you I think at that point you still want, if there's going to be a title change, you want that to be the last thing anyone sees. Unless they've got a
that
big
would be my choice. Like
unless they've got a
personally.
big yeah, and unless they whether Crowd Crow's happy or not, unless you've got like, because we've kind of got we have really have gone beyond that in wrestling, the need for a happy ending for every show.
Oh yeah, that has been outgrown.
It's more the what's going to be the what's the lasting memory? What's the big moment of this show? And I don't, unless they've got like some big angle plan for the end of Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu, title's not going to change. You could put that on earlier.
Yeah, but then that is, I mean, it really is a wild situation that Brock could be first again, because by all rights, like you said, like that was almost a de facto main event
Yeah.
of WrestleMania
Yeah,
in a lot of people's eyes.
and this show's gonna feel like it has three main events out of five.
Yeah,
And I don't think it's
it's pretty wild.
official yet, but the fourth match is essentially Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill in another rematch from WrestleMania.
Yeah, which is why I kind of joked a little bit early about this being second backlash.
Yeah, this is just this feels like more like Backlash than Backlash. Yes.
Oh man. So yeah, I mean, yeah, Jade Cargill has come back with a purpose the last 2 weeks here. And it's really kind of interesting, especially since they'd been putting Rhea Ripley in another triple threat match, seemingly with Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair in Fatal Influence. So it was kind of wild that Rhea Ripley getting action from all corners at the current moment.
She is, yeah. She's definitely got some action going. She's getting it from all corners, which is different from Liv Morgan, who's getting it from no corners.
I mean, the clubhouse wasn't even really that spicy this week. You
No,
know,
they've
some
really.
weeks it's been kind of fun segments back there. They had stuff, but I mean, it really wasn't even spicy.
No, not a lot of spice. She doesn't have, obviously their plans around her involved continuing the Stephanie Vaquer feud, and without her, that they've got not even pivoted to anything. They hope they can get Stephanie back sooner than later, but Liv Morgan's been kind of twiddling her thumbs and
Yeah,
essentially in manager duty. In the tag
the
team division.
continued big footing of Becky Lynch over the Raw Women's Championship
Oh, she
continues.
it happens.
It, it,
Yes.
it you know, intentionally or not, yeah, the US Championship really more important than the Raw Women's Championship
Intercontinental.
or Intercontinental.
Yeah.
More important right now than
It's we're
the
we
Raw
are
Women's title.
we are about a year into this whole thing with Becky Lynch, holding the Intercontinental title for the most part, and or being in the challenger seat for the Intercontinental title, and just maybe unintentionally, big footing whatever the world championship situation is, because she is Becky Lynch. She is. She's the best female wrestler of all time. I'm not just saying it, other people are saying it. So she casts a large shadow, and she's involved in her thing with Sol Ruka. They don't have that they they had a good segment. They got a match at Saturday night's main event. And yeah, they're gonna be off to the races there while Liv Morgan is just, getting kicked out of ringside for interfering in a tag title match, and
Even though that Jessica Carr didn't even see or interfere, how
Yeah,
dare
no.
corrupt Carr just strikes again,
Yes, she did.
speaking of Becky Lynch.
That is very true. And the Brie Bella Page chant title reign continues.
Oh, wow. Yep. It is in fact continuing.
Yes, and they get the Irresistible Forces again this Saturday on Saturday's main event. Paige's return was a great moment, and I get the situation that they were in, but these two have no chemistry. Not character-wise, not in ring either.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, like, because it feels like they are all genuinely friends, if
I
I'm not
believe so. Yeah.
mistaken.
Yes. Yes. Total diva. So, yeah.
So it's always wild to me when that chemistry just does not come across.
No.
Like, even in their promos, I'm like, you guys don't feel like real friends. Like, I know that you're real friends, but for some reason, like, it in no way comes across on the microphone.
No. No, it doesn't. They don't really have any double team. They don't dress alike. They don't have any double teams. This experiment needs to come to an end soon, and maybe they'll come to an end on Saturday. I don't
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Irresistible Forces are gonna get this dub or not. Yeah, I would not be against it though. Because
No.
like you said, I am in the same boat. Like, this just is not working. Like you said, great moment at WrestleMania. I'm happy if Paige is healthy enough to be at least wrestling a WWE schedule at this point. Yeah, just let her go to the single division. I mean, I guess that's all that's
Yeah.
gonna help, and let Brie and Nikki do their thing in the tag division when Nikki is healthy enough.
Yeah.
What else have we not covered between both of the shows? Like, I feel like that was pretty decent coverage for most
Yeah.
of the bigger points.
We really did. Let's see.
Because yeah, I mean, yeah, because yeah, Charlotte and Alexa were ended up dealing with Meechin and B-Fab this week. So I mean, they're also involved
Right. And
in two different storylines, really.
Jade Cargill caused a DQ, so Mee Chin and B Fab didn't do the job. And if they're, in the business of, promoting, Jade Cargill for a one-on-one match with Rhea Ripley, I could see them also winning the six-woman tag so on Saturday. So again,
Yeah,
Meechan
not
and
out
B
of the realm
Fab
of
are on a roll of not losing. Maybe neither of them are gonna score any
Oh,
pins over anybody, but they're not losing.
yeah, I mean, I would not be shocked if they ended up winning the six woman tag match, because I
I
mean
mean
the
Jade's gonna get the
baby
pin and
face
it'll probably and possibly over Rhea, but it's But yeah, they're there.
Means to an end.
Means to an
It
end.
means to
They're
an end, and
there.
like you said, they're not losing for a change. They
Yeah.
actually get to celebrate in the ring. Good for them. Oof, man, I did kind of feel like I'm like, ooh, I don't feel like this B-Fab experiment is getting any better.
Oh, we didn't even talk. That's right. That's the one thing we didn't talk about last week. The that segment, and then the ill-fated full Nelson Slam finish from B Fab. Where if she can't perform that thing on Alexa Bliss, I don't know who she can put that thing on.
Yes. All of the superlatives you can put down about Ms. Bliss Being a large woman in their division is not on that list. So yeah, she's about as small as you're gonna have to do some work on. And yeah, if you can't do that, and I felt like there were a couple other spots where I'm just like, oh boy, like
That
what
whole match was, yeah, I mean, I know we're talking
because.
about something that happened. Well, you could probably combine the two. There were just so
Hey, there
many
were some
moments
good
in
ones
both leagues.
in the tag match this week.
Yeah,
I
very
felt like there
some
were,
slow moments, step or two
yes.
behind. You know, you're
And
waiting for somebody else to get in position. Yeah, it's been,
I know I'm
this.
not blaming three of the four women in the match. Like Mee Chin definitely has enough experience, and she can keep up with. I feel like the modern ladies wrestling here.
Well,
So there's
who are we blaming for some of the uglier spots in the previous week's six woman tag? Lainey Reid.
Oh, you know what? I never watched that.
Oh, okay.
So
Yeah, does that
that is
one?
on you
I
for full marks.
because that because that six the because the six woman tag with Fatal Influence that Jade Cargill interfered in. I feel like Jade jumped the gun on hopping the rail and getting involved, and everyone else then just got so maybe that's it's not yeah. So everyone else was
Kind
just
of
got
caught
confused
off
after
guard a
that,
little
caught
bit.
off guard after that. That's what it seemed like thinking about it now. And maybe at the time, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it happened. The spot happened a little bit earlier than expected. Like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
I can see how that might throw one
Yeah.
off.
But we're but you know Fatal Influence still in a great spot.
Oh, yes.
Better than everyone. Well, as far as anyone who's entered from NXT, let's say dating back to January or so, that with that first exodus from NXT now before the second one, of course. Oba, Trick, Fatal Influence in certain terms of who's doing the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Trick is definitely caught on quite
Yes,
strongly,
he
so.
definitely has. He had a big moment in his hometown. Again, Miz and Kit Wilson will play the best buffoons money can buy.
If you want some hype, call in Kit Wilson and in the Miz, and we'll get an entertaining segment. The good guy will get to beat up the bad guy, and everyone will laugh afterwards.
Yeah.
And
So,
that is definitely what happened in Greenville, South Carolina this
and
week.
are we getting a previous indie darlings the crowd has turned against tag team with Sami Zayn and Johnny Gargano?
That was an interesting segment. I guess that's a route that they could go.
Yeah, I mean it's there's nothing there's nothing left for Sammy in this in any kind of singles right now, and Johnny's. I mean, they've literally made a storyline out of how
Comatose he is.
hapless his career is right now without a
Yeah,
tag team partner.
Yeah, they both need a spot. And that seems like a prime spot, honestly, for both of them.
Yeah,
I
it could
feel
probably
like
be
this is
fine.
another one where we've been talking about both of their demises for a while now. Sammy's gotten more of the airplay, I would say, just because they haven't done the comatose Johnny Gargano on TV in a little while. They gave him that whole, hey, I'm coming back to old Johnny Gargano territory, but only in NXT because, less viewers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's as good a spot as any for again, both of them. Like, why not?
Yeah. No, right.
One other one that I'm looking at the end of this result. Another one, a little bit strange, not completely wild. Carmelo Hayes ends up beating Ricky Saints on SmackDown this week. It's kind of, you were talking about all the call-ups. Ricky Saints on the bottom end of how things have gone for him.
There's it's worse for him because after a couple of losses, you can see Sol Ruka's redemption coming. Not that I would not have booked done the Io Sky match at all where she lost. I just wouldn't have done
Oh,
it.
right.
But they did it. But you can so and they did it, but you can see where the redemption's coming.
Yep,
With Ricky
agreed.
Saints, it feels right now like he's being booked by someone who thought signing Ricky Saints was a bad idea, and they're gonna prove and they're gonna prove us why. A very Vince McMahon move, really. If Triple H or someone on the writing team just doesn't get this guy, or he's rubbed somebody the wrong way, and they're just not going to do much with him. There doesn't seem to be a way out of this for him now.
He definitely needs something to change his fortunes. And it doesn't feel like it's coming anytime soon. The way things are currently going. And I don't really see him getting put in the US championship picture, honestly. Like it feels like Trick Williams is too big for him at the current moment.
He is too big for him. He's 66'5" in his lemon pepper steppers. He's too big for a lot of people. But
Fair enough. And Lil Yachty has a lot of free time.
he must. He must. There is no new album. There is no new tour here. This guy just.
He's made more dates than Pat McAfee recently. I mean, it is pretty wild. Little Yachty just hitting the road here. What else? Oh gosh. We touched on the Judgment Day a little bit. So why not talk about Finn Balor and JD McDonagh in a street fight?
This ended up a good match. I'm still in that mindset of I don't understand why this feud is continuing. But they had a good match, so at least the McDonough part of this feud is over. I imagine at some point we'll get another Finn Dom match.
I've been interested to see if Finn ends up going for the AAA championship and
That is what I'm
maybe gets moved
thinking.
down south here.
That's what I would think could be a good thing to happen. I thought the challenge was gonna get or it was just gonna get laid down this past week to to have that match on this on the big show on the 30th.
I mean, it would be kind of interesting. I would you could sign me up for a Vikingo versus Finn Balor matchup. That would definitely get my attention.
Think Finn against a number of people in AAA would could be good. I'm not mind seeing him down there. So yeah, but him doing a thing with him and Dom down there, I think having it, because Dom had to face the demon, so now Balor has to face him on his turf and under his conditions. You can sell that.
I mean, I feel like Dom has pulled that out before with the was it the San Diego Challenge last year? 'Cause oh, he faced John Cena in Boston and
Yeah,
then he
he's John Cena Boston, yeah. So then he challenged
So
John
yeah,
Cena to face him in San Diego, even though he did not get the hometown ovation he was hoping for. Although I remember that being a fun match with with a great finish with Liv Morgan coming back and really
Oh.
Cena probably just should have called it a career there.
That was yeah. I still felt like that one was at least a little bit. Yeah, that's just one of those just help your person to me kind of moments. But anywho, speaking of AAA, El Grande Americano ends up getting a win over the other El Grande Americano as Corey Graves tries to get the seriousness of how over this feud is in Mexico. Like, it is so. I know that we talk about it week in and week out, but it is still wild to me. Corey is not being disingenuous about what he is
No,
describing.
he is not. And Michael Cole has toned down the sarcasm here. He may have gotten a strongly worded text from the Undertaker or something to knock it off.
My gosh, I would love if that text came to light. I'm sure it would be quite amusing if that's really what happened. Oh
Oh
my
yeah.
gosh.
Oh yeah, it is so amusing how over that thing is in Mexico and how no one seems to care at all in the States. Although this one, because it was, the tornado tag and all action, it got a decent reaction, but
Yeah, it was one of the better segments for all involved, but it's still closer to a polite pause than being hot. So, what else? What other little things did we? Oh man, I forgot how much of Paige and Bree we got. Whew, they are really getting their money's worth out of them. Oh yeah, I guess the other big story here also somewhat involves Paul Heyman here. I think this is
yes.
one of the other big things that we have not caught. The whole Seth Rollins the Vision interaction here is at least maybe taking a turn a little bit sooner than we thought with
Yeah, I actually thought the big turn. Well, I think we're gonna get a turn as well, but that's in the kind of the more ancillary stories to this whole thing. But yes, they did. Seth Rollins made a challenge to any member of the Vision, particularly saying he wanted Bron Breakker. Breakker wanted it, but Heyman stepped in, put Austin Theory in the match, and we're basically being told that this is a trap, and Seth is going to end up in a 3-on-1 situation. Throughout the night, you have at least one or two other baby faces, confronting Seth, telling them they don't give a damn, they don't care about him, they still think he's a piece of shit, and they don't, and they don't, and they're not going to help him. Though one Angelo Dawkins seems a little more sympathetic to Seth's cause, and does ultimately involve himself and gets beat down for it. Montez Ford has to make the save, even though he's set. And here we go again. The Street Profits are arguing. We're at about
Oh
2 years
my
of
gosh.
this.
We're the more things change, the more they stay the same.
But this time it's this time it's this time I think it's gonna this time you know what I think this time maybe it will stick, because you know what, Montez turning and joining the Vision might be a good move for him.
He would definitely be yeah, he would be an interesting addition to that
Yeah.
faction. So, yeah. It'd get my interest if they went that route.
Yeah. But throughout again, but back to the Seth Rollins part in this, we're obviously building towards someone making the save for Seth, and it being like the
Oh.
last person you would ever expect type situation, I'm thinking it's gonna be CM Punk.
CM Punk does, similar to Cody Rhodes, obviously he does not really need to be in the main event scene the rest of the time that he's in the WWE.
No,
And no
you
matter
can float him
what,
out. Yeah.
he got his WrestleMania moment. He doesn't really need anything else at this juncture. Just kind of have him in personal feuds.
Yeah, and he's got his history with Heyman and the Vision. The next evolution of these the Rollins Punk is them, begrudgingly having the team. So
And
it makes sense, yeah.
again, them is a power tag team also. Why not? The tag division, we talked about how bad the tag division is. If you gave Seth and CM Punk a run as tag team champions, that would not hurt anything.
Right. So yeah, no, wait, it wouldn't hurt anything at all. But yeah, that's where it's because it's obvious Seth has to get it out in LA at some point.
Oh
At
yeah,
least
I
one.
do think that they've made that pretty clear that it's coming at some point. You
Yeah.
just don't know when exactly. And with the late arrival of Montez Ford, like you said, there could definitely be some friction there that ends up sticking. Will it? For sure. I don't know, but it could.
It feels like it's being presented as the main event of Saturday Night's main event. Not that that's a great honor or anything with how this card has turned out.
Yeah, I did not pull that one up.
Well, I think it was in the when they ran down the five matches. It's the last one they talked about. So that's usually the main event that ends up being the last match on the show. And I guess in some
Oh.
ways it's the biggest match, and it's still encompasses main event people involved.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I was just trying to see what the official set of matches was, but I couldn't do an easy find on it. So whatever. Because yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel like there was anything else other than the Seth and the Vision to cover there. Is there anything else that leapt out on the page at you that is worth covering
Well, something
before?
did something left out the page more at you than me, so I guess we can close by talking about it.
Why
All right.
not? We all we've all complained on this show about the UFC and access to it. I am not a Paramount Plus subscriber, and plus, I'm definitely not paying $50 if $30 is the hill that I don't want to climb or barely want to climb. $50 a month still definitely not appetizing. Netflix just brought us an MMA card with Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano roughly 17 years too late. I think that this card overall, though it was MMA on not the UFC platform, oh boy, I felt like they were trotting out some of the great oldies
Oh, they
hits
were. Yes,
in
this was all.
general, not just the
I mean,
Ronda and Gina
this was
fight.
so. This was very like pro wrestling. This was this is this. It's more minor league. This isn't like WCW. This is like what's a good one?
Would
Heroes
you
of
call it
Wrestling,
TNA?
TNA. Oh, TNA when they leaned heavily on former WWE guys, yes.
No.
There have been pr wrestling promotions throughout the years, or attempts at promotions, that just signed everyone WWF or WCW, willingly got rid of, and decided to build a promotion around these people. And that's what this is. There is not a single person who UFC on this thing that, well, Ronda retired of from fighting after two tough losses, but everyone
Yep.
else, it was a UFC cast-off. Somebody UFC didn't have see value in anymore. And this is how you're going to start. This is how you're going to build, as the phrase is, challenger, build a challenger brand around. It's just like, no, that's, I mean, it's freak show. It's not a legitimate challenger. Now, granted, the numbers that came back, because a lot more people have Netflix than Paramount Plus,
Yeah.
it is that, Ronda Rousey versus Gina Carano is now officially the most watched MMA fight in US television history.
Oh. Yeah, not completely surprised.
No, I mean, it is a platform, and I guess every once in a while they can do whatever, but to have like but to think that you're going to have any kind of promotion like UFC that runs shows almost weekly at this point, or maybe it is weekly for as much as I pay attention.
Oh yeah, I don't know
If
what
by,
the what their Jake Paul's goal is in this endeavor.
I mean, it's going to essentially require him fighting. All of MVP's interest in both boxing and MMA revolve around him having to be the one to fight, which, yeah, I guess puts him in a great position, because he's a co-owner and he's a fighter who gets paid and all that. And I don't know how
Yeah,
well that's
it's
working. And I got
always
a
fun
glimpse
to
of,
double dip.
yeah, because this isn't happening again. Rhonda has said she's done. She's see,
Oh.
either she's truly done with public life, and she, of course, has plenty of money to just go away and never do anything for the rest of her life, or she's trying to get other people to bid money on her, whether it's UFC, whether it's WWE again, whether it's AEW, whether it's MVP, but or maybe she's serious about having more kids and she really doesn't want it. And she's 37 years old. It's, she's got there's a clock ticking on that if she really does want more kids. So if that's what she
Oh, yeah.
wants, but there's no other Ronda here. Francis Ngannou and Mike Perry aren't gonna draw on their own.
Especially when like I immediately hit mute after John Jones. Like, Ngannou challenges John Jones after his pretty much anticipated win.
Right.
And he's just like, I have a UFC contract. And it's just like, okay, like I'm out then. Like, if you're basing your whole strategy on presenting fights that never happened in UFC, that should have happened in UFC,
Yeah.
You've still probably got to get more of the UFC roster than you have at the current moment.
Right, yeah. And then Jones is still downplaying it, talking about more about retirement than fighting again at all. It's just,
And
that part of the
that's the
show is a
other
mess.
wild thing. John, I need to look up his age now, but I mean, he's got to be in that area too, where he's kind of getting up there in, born in 87. So yeah, I mean, man's 38. He is also not getting any younger. And so yeah, it's.
That was and then they're complaining about how UFC made the Conor McGregor return announcement during their show. You had a UFC fighter on your show. You put UFC fighters on your show, and then had people make grandstand challenges towards them. Now, granted, I don't know how those contracts work in terms of, Jon Jones getting to be an analyst for some other MMA promotion on Netflix or whatever. But
Yeah, that part seems pretty questionable.
you're playing some dirty pool too, because I don't feel like Jon Jones in any way knew that was coming from Nagano.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to say, but
You know, why do I, to me, why show up otherwise? Like, if you're showing up at the rival promotion, like, I feel like you're trying to kind of push some type of agenda.
I do think he has an agenda. I'm not sure it's to fight again against Nagata, but maybe it is. I don't know. It was a very clumsy part of the show. It just
Oh.
again there again. That's why it so felt like a pro wrestling. Not even your solid number two chat. Your real like. We've got this tiny ass TV deal. We somehow got on pay-per-view. We're gonna talk like Herb Abrams UWF. It's other promotions that Heroes of Wrestling, for God's sakes. That disaster from years and years ago.
Yeah.
It felt more like that, although it was on a bigger scale. With good production values and a lot of money invested, of course, things that like I'm referencing are very, low budget deals. This was a very high budget. This is a very high budget version of that.
Yeah.
Like you're just
Well,
trying, you're trying, you're
and
just trying to be
thankfully it
mis.
paid off, it would seem.
It did seem to pay off. We'll see what they can do, but
Yeah.
again,
Is
it'll.
it
There's no
sustainable
rouse.
is what the question we're really asking
If they
is.
can't get if again. Rousey's the biggest name. They'll probably get who isn't named Jake Paul to do anything with them at this point.
Oh, yeah, that seems pretty accurate.
So they've already peaked.
Right.
I mean, although Jake Paul doing an MMA fight, which he does still seem to be afraid of. So I don't know if that's ever
Oh.
going to happen. Jake Paul doing an MMA fight for the first time can be a big deal. That'll probably be a bigger deal than him boxing again.
Yeah, he still seemed a little bit awkward as a boxer the one or two times that I've watched him fight before. I do not really, he does not seem as athletically gifted as his brother.
No, he.
I will put it maybe that way.
Yeah, he definitely got trounced in his last fight with a real boxer, and he definitely did not seem interested in going MMA with Nagano. He seemed okay. We can box. We can box. I'm not sure that's gonna. Nagano is another one of those people very much probably like Brock Lesnar. It's like okay, at this point in his life, maybe he can't beat the top UFC heavyweights. But he's washing 99% of the people walking the face of this earth easily.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Like you said, Jake did kind of angle it towards boxing, and I'm just like, I don't think you want that still, sir. I think you're gonna get your ass handed to you, and it's not gonna be fun. Will I tune in? Probably. Why not?
No, I mean, again. And that's the benefit of these things being on Netflix anyway. You already have, almost everyone has Netflix, so you might as well watch it.
Yeah. And that
Paramount
was kind
Plus,
of
ESPN Unlimited are not in that category.
Yeah, they are not in the Netflix category. That is for sure. I think that's a good way to wrap up the
Yes.
show. I'll tell you what, I talked about Zaftig Brewing last week. I did not I and I talked about how I don't always bring beer back from them. I did this time around, but did not drink it tonight. I'm still a little bit problematic in the lungs because the beer that I brought home from there is called Barrel Math, and it's a 21% ABV beer. And I'll
Yeah.
tell you what, it was pretty delicious.
Yeah,
They
that it
only had
is.
it in 5 ounce pours at the
I would.
brewery.
I'm pretty sure they legally can't put anything else.
Yes, it was essentially a mixed drink, disguised as a beer.
Wow.
Very, very tasty. But the beer that I actually had was not a lightweight either here. Wolf's Ridge Brewing, I've talked about them before. This is their anniversary number 12, their barrel age blend. They just take a boatload of their barrel aged beers and blend them annually. And this one is clocking in at 12%. So, extra 9% is wild because this one is super heavy. And yeah, they did not really say sometimes they let you in on the mix of beers, but this one just says a dozen years of memory in beers. So there's no specific beers in this blend, at least on the can. Maybe it's on Untappd, but I'm not looking there right now. But should one find themselves in Columbus, Wolf's Ridge Brewing is a high value choice there. Not only do they have good beer, they have good food too. Belltime beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.